welcome to the Welly Sport Podcast, where our aim is to provide interesting sports-related conversations with anyone from the world of sport, including old Wellingtonians now involved in sport or other individuals who now work within the sports field. For this episode, your hosts are me, Mr. Pratt, with my role at Wellington currently being Assistant Director of Sport and Head of Cricket. And we're also joined by Michael O'Donoghue, the 2020 Wellington College cricket captain. We're also joined with our guests today, being two former Wellington College Cricket Club captains. From 2017, we've got Alex Schoff, and from 2018, Jack Davis. So this podcast is going to form part of a mini-series particularly aimed at past captains, looking to catch up with recent captains, players and players who have taken different routes within their sports since school. So before we get stuck in, just to say that we hope everyone is staying safe at home and looking after themselves physically and mentally during this period of isolation. And hopefully this podcast will provide something fun for people to listen to. So, Michael, do you want to introduce yourself and talk about your sort of sporting experiences and background, and then you can pass on yep. to Shoffy and then to Davo?
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. Well, I started way back in third form, kind of played every sport, didn't really have a favourite, just played rugby, football and hockey. Rugby, football, hockey, cricket. And started my cricket with Mr. Jews and Mr. McDonald. So that was an interesting one.
But it
was
the dream team.
The dream team, nonetheless. Luckily enough, in fourth form, Mr. Pratt saw my my loopy off spin, as David likes to call it, back in the day. And I ended up playing for the ones, luckily. Since then, well, been in and out, but lower sixth last year, another good year, went on tour. That was quite a big highlight, I thought. Shoffy, how have you been doing and what have you been doing since Welly?
I left in 2017, so almost like 3 years ago, 3 years ago now. Been at Durham University, where I've kept on my cricket a little bit, but at school, I played mainly cricket. I also played a lot of tennis outside of school, but then did some rugby and did some football goalkeeping and represented the school in that. Since then, I've just been trying to keep up my cricket, mainly in the first year after playing for Durham. But then since then, it's been a bit harder to find some time to play. Overall, mainly just play cricket and a little bit of rugby at school. It's been fun. How about you, Davo?
I obviously left in 2018, so a year after Shoffy. And when I first came into school, I was kind of bullied into playing rugby, which I hated, but with a natural prowess, just played a bit here and there. And then...
Just to cut in, wasn't I coach of your yearlings team as well?
I think
it's a long time ago now.
Which is great. Yeah, we didn't win one game, I reckon.
Was that my bad coaching, probably?
Yeah, I don't think you implemented one piece of tactic, but I ran the strings at 12 for a year, and then into fourth form, I kind of pushed away from rugby and kept cricket and started playing a lot of rackets and squash. Had a couple of years of token hockey. From there, kind of just pushed away every other sport and into those two, really, into rackets and cricket. And luckily, my cricket kind of pushed on a bit and got selected for a couple of tours here and there. And now I've just had my first year on the staff now working in it, so at Middlesex, which is great fun. So, yeah.
David, up until now, have you been in Australia this last winter?
Yes, right. So I spent the last winter in Melbourne, just for 6 months, just playing for a club team over there and kind of living with the family and kind of getting on my cricket myself, just to kind of naturally progress not only my cricket but just life skills and living away from home and things like that. But I mean, getting away from English weather is great and being in Melbourne, so that's nice.
Nice, cool. Well, thanks for that. So a bit of background on Michael as a co-interviewer today and our two guests. So to get things going, we'll just have a couple of fun little games, hopefully, with some Wellington-related questions. So just to try and see how well Dave-O and Shoffy know each other and what their experiences of Wellington were. So Shoffy, we're going to start off with a quick game of word association. Michael will ask you the questions. Shoffy, when Michael gives you the questions or the words, sorry, as it were, you'll have five seconds to think of the first word which comes into your mind related to the Wellington term. And Jack, if you want to write them down or think in your head and try and compare, what your response is or what you think Shoffy's response is going to be to these words. So I guess once Jack's got his phone ready.
One off 5 seconds.
Yeah, you can have 5 seconds to think of it. Also, I guess.
Word association. Are we talking about just a single word, or can we have like a couple just thrown in there?
Well, you're going to get sort of one word or two word phrase based on Wellington. But if you want it to be a little phrase, your response, that's fine. Or what you think Shoffy's response is going to be, that's fine.
It'll be.
Didn't realise it's going to get so technical. Right, Donna's over to you.
All right, so the first Wellington term is congas.
Yeah, go on.
Go for it.
Skive.
What did you say?
Skive, I think.
I said overrated.
Skive and overrated. really selling going to congas there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of it's not as bad as it used to be now. It's only like once a half term or twice a half term.
Oh, that's pretty good.
No, it's not weekly anymore. It's just like once half a term, so it's not too bad.
Conga's a long way to walk from the Beresford, isn't it, Shoffy?
Yeah, it's terrible. That's why we are. Well, Franco was also quite a good one to have.
He didn't really mind.
Come on, let's keep going before we get in trouble.
All right. Second word is Kingsley's.
Muddy.
I said pointless.
Almost out for a second. Yeah.
Jack, how many Kingsleys did you run, Jack?
I reckon I ran one in my last six because I got caught by my housemaster in my room.
You have been really good role models as cricket captains for upholding a whole school event. Thanks, lads. It got cancelled this year, but I know Donna's would have run it because he'd have got the role modelling. Right, go on, keep going.
Alright, next word, well, words are Michaelmas term.
Long.
I said dark. I thought you had dark. Very
dark, long, awful.
Next word is callover.
Franco.
Yeah. Again, I said futile. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Jack, I get the sense that's going to be your response to a few of these.
One.
maybe the last one you might have a better response to, actually.
Okay, so the last one is summer term. Summer term.
Tough.
Yeah, Shoffy.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
Get in, Shoffy.
All encompassing.
Obviously, also said that.
And that's the first one I've seen Jack actually show some real joy about as well.
Yeah.
Right, come on.
Lessons, but
that would have kept up with the theme from before.
Yeah.
Right. Well, So that's a little bit of an insight into Shoffy's mind there. I think we'll flip it on its head this time. And this time, Michael is going to ask you some would you rathers, Dave-O. Same rules that you'll get 5 seconds to think of your response. And then, Shoffy, if you can write down or jot down somewhere what you think Jack's response is going to be.
Does Jack have to say why?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'll give a little description.
Yeah, all right. All right, so the first would you rather is detention or fatigues?
Detention, obviously.
Yeah, I thought that too.
The thing is, detentions, you get like three of them, and I did get a couple. But you, if you got three of them, you turn up to one, and then the other two kind of just fell away. Because fatigue's a genuine
issue. You wouldn't get fatigues that much. Like, I don't know, many of my friends didn't really get it.
Yeah, I struggle to see how you get fatigues. Because even when you go to detentions, like, eventually they build up and you get doubles, but then they just disappear. Whereas fatigues, I don't know what you have to do to get them.
Thankfully, you never found out either, I guess.
Yeah.
I reckon it's quite a lot easier nowadays to get fatigues.
I don't know anyone who ever got fatigues, basically.
Really? Okay, the next would you rather, which I'd hope would be an obvious answer, is turf or big side?
See, again, you'd have to go turf.
Yeah.
I don't know. Big side was, you know, being Shoffy and myself were both stooges for periods. And, you know, it's quite nice with a crowd behind you, packed house. But turf would obviously be a bit just.
Yeah, turf's the best. Turf's the best.
Yeah, turf is the best. Speech day and graduation is just turf. It's unbelievable.
All right, next one. Not sure if you took part in any of these, Davo, but Bowie Run or Pink Pav Dash?
Ah, so I'd obviously go Bowie Run. Because Bowie Run is good because you missed that 15 minutes before the last lesson before lunch.
Where is the Bowie Run?
The Bowie Run is from the clock tower down to the lake shop.
Is it for who?
It's just for people who...
It's like one from each house or something.
I do like the fact that Davo's response to the Bowie Run is purely based around missing 15 minutes of lessons.
Well, no, because the Pink Pav... I was forced into the Pink Pav Dash 1 year.
I mean, location is better.
Yeah.
Next question is, House Song or Midnight Carols?
House Song.
Yeah, it's got to be. Never experienced Midnight Carols.
I was thinking Midnight Carols because, like, that's not really a Beresford thing.
Yeah. Midnight Carols in the quad, in the front quad, are very good, but I still think House Song tops it.
Still has Song. Go on, last
one. House Song.
All right. Last question, graduation or speech day?
I'm going to go speech day.
I also think
it's probably... I'd go either speech day over both of them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what... Especially playing cricket when the whole school comes down to watch the T20 either speech day. I think it's so good.
Yeah, but that's not speech day, that's either speech day.
I know, that's why I specified Alex.
Oh, right, so that's better than both, right?
It's just moved the goalpost, hasn't it, a little bit?
Yeah.
Cool, right, well, I'm not sure we've learned a great deal there, apart from the fact that Davo didn't really value anything other than cricket and rackets. Shoffy, thankfully, bought into a little bit more. But let's move on. So I guess just for me, Jack will ask you first, but I guess we've sort of covered what you've been up to recently, but how are you keeping in this sort of weird world that we're now living in of isolation? How's it going in terms of what you've been up to, and what does it mean for cricket for you, I guess, as well?
It's obviously a very strange time. When it all started kicking off, we were actually in Oman on our pre-season tour, and we had to come home early. And then we didn't get back into training, and we kind of need to keep a self-discipline in this because young players at the club, and we all kind of push each other to keep working hard. We've got a gym here. We do a lot of running in our allocated time. And the club have actually created like a Strava group, and it's the most competitive thing you can imagine. Like, especially the 5K times flying about, it's ridiculous. Apart from that, there's quite a few blokes doing uni degrees and things like that part-time, and a smattering of the young lads playing quite a lot of PS4, so it's got a lot of downtime, but still working hard alongside it. Yeah,
I like that. Now you're in Strava, you could come back and compete in the Kingsleys. You might
exactly, yeah, so good.
You might shape up well for it now. Shoffy, same to you. Obviously, sort of slightly different situation in your last year of uni, and how that's going for you in terms of what that looks like at the moment.
Obviously, it's been really disruptive because universities also had some strikes this year and last year. So this term sort of completely disintegrated. At the moment, I'm just doing some coursework for university, which still needs to be done, obviously, and then have two online exams. But yeah, after that, I graduate hopefully, and then I'm all done. So yeah, it's pretty strange because it's probably not even 3 years since I left, and I didn't take a gap year, so I'm basically just straight out, which is quite weird looking back at how it wasn't actually that much time when I was still at Wellington. But yeah,
do you know what your have you got post uni plans, Shoffy, in terms of what you're thinking?
Yeah, and to work in London, which is quite nice. To sort of have that locked in. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of a big stress, sort of trying to find graduate jobs and things like that.
Yeah. What, going back to you, Davo, then, so that having had pre-season, obviously, I'm sure that was a pretty strange experience kind of coming home early from that with everything going on and stuff. But is there sort of any ideas or gut feelings at your end if there's going to be any cricket this season at all? Like, what's your feeling about that in terms of trying to plan for an English summer, which at the moment I guess doesn't look like it's going to happen?
Yeah, obviously it's weird, especially you think about the traditional views on the game is a lot of, you know, Red Bull 4-day cricket, which now is looking less and less likely. You think of just what cricket's needed from this year is probably as much revenue as possible, and that's going to be any T20 or maybe the 100 and probably Test cricket just to get some viewing on TV. So to keep, it's kind of tough. It keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. But I feel like because you can push the summer as far back as you want up till about November, early November, you can try and get as much cricket in under lights and things like that. If you play white ball cricket, I think there will be some cricket at the back end for sure.
And you sort of mentioned the 100 there. What do you reckon? Think that's going to be a positive thing for the game?
Oh yeah, I think any time you've got international players coming into the game, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be very beneficial for English cricket, and especially if you look at the one day competition alongside it. Young players like, well, hopefully me, the last thing I would have been given a go here or there in the one day comp with, you know, we had three players picked up, or maybe four in the 100, so it frees up a couple of spots. And I'd like to think that's the same at other counties, and it just gives people a chance in the game with bringing a bit of revenue in as well. So
it's good. I think that's probably a good point, isn't it? That like even so, it'll have an impact at the top end with those sort of superstars coming in, but it'll also mean some of the sort of guys early on in their career get an opportunity and on sort of a stage they might not have normally had the opportunity to play on as well.
Exactly, especially if you think of, because there will be very good overseas not picked up in the 100. And they'll still be looking for English cricket. So they're coming over and working with youngsters. So I think it's a really good thing for the English game.
Shoffy, one last one for you, and then I'll pass on to Donners to ask a couple of questions. MCC membership, didn't you start that last year? Is that?
Yeah, I'm still locked in now. I mean, I still have to do the 5 years of games, which I don't know how this season's going to affect that. Because
okay, so you're into your whatever is it 20 games in 5 years now?
Yeah, so I've done the 2 years. So I guess like now I can enjoy. I think I now have basically all the rights and stuff. I can still have the pavilion and things like that, but need to keep playing the games. But that's really fun. I mean, I recommend anyone to do that because it's just sort of a backdoor into pavilion. Otherwise, you have to wait for so it's pretty. Yeah, pretty good system.
Don, did you get your application in the end? You're looking at MCC.
I've sent in my application a month or two ago, so still waiting for that at the moment.
I guess like with everything going on, that'll probably all get extended as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on. So, Don, I'll pass over to you for a couple of questions for the boys.
What would you say for both of you is your most memorable moment in cricket? Shoffy, what would you go with?
Can I pass to Davo for one sec? You think about it.
Shoffy, I've got one for you.
Which one?
Got to be the 100 at Saks on tour, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
That was actually a very good moment.
Well, I was going to say for me, actually, the one at Marlborough, when me and Davo had that partnership.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm actually, my girlfriend came to watch because she was at Marlborough at the time.
His missus was there.
Go on then, Dave. You've had some time bought there. What's yours?
At school, I reckon just That time we chased down 325 in the 50-over game at Bowes against Sedler. That was a good game. That was up there. Also, maybe my first 100 for score would have been... Yeah, that was a pretty special game.
I was trying to look back through the records. How many 100 did you end up with, Jack?
I want to say 9.
Shoffley, what did you get... Three in the end. Donnie, you got the one at the start.
I just got the one. Yeah.
Did yours end up as 150, Donnie, or was it 130-odd?
130-odd.
Dave, you got a 150, didn't you?
You're thinking of my one, not 151, I reckon.
Okay, so this might be an obvious question, but best player that you have played with? Well, at Wellington, I'd assume it would be Sam.
At Wellington, it would be Sam.
Yeah.
Also, because most underrated player I played with, Leo Methley, Roban.
Yeah, Leo Methley would get into most T20 sides, I think.
The best schoolboy off spin I played with.
I guess just for clarity for any listeners that weren't aware, you both referenced Sam Curran being the best player at school, and then big shout out for Leo Methley as well.
Yeah, alongside him.
Who's the best player at Middlesex Academy, sort of your like younger guys, do you reckon?
Or no, it could be a dangerous response this, Dave. Think carefully.
There are a couple. Blake Collins just got signed. He's an unbelievable bowler, fast bowler. In the academy, there's obviously a lot. I think Josh DeCares is a very good opening batter who I think will be playing professional cricket very soon. He don't know whether he wants me to say it or not. He probably won't care, but he's Mike Atherton's son. He lines up exactly like him. He's a proper talent.
Right-hander batter, the same?
Yeah, right-hander batter. Just that absolute grafty opener.
Same as you then, Jack?
Yeah, jeez. Right-hander batter as well. That's a player in my game.
Right, okay. Going against that, though, who would you say is the best player you played against?
I know, Zach Crawley, school.
Oh, really?
Is it your Jack? Was it your year? He got a big 100 against Wellington. Was that your year?
I think I might have been in fourth form, and right. He got 100 before lunch. I reckon.
Yeah.
And he was just whacking it.
I can remember it in something like I think Wellington might have won the toss. We might have won the toss and bowled.
Because it was quite. I reckon it was very overcast, and Sam was, and Crawley just started. Didn't whack Sam, but just started whacking everyone else. Really.
I seem to remember Franco and I doing a lap, and in about the fourth over, he picked a ball up from outside off stump over square leg for 6, and it was like, we've won the toss here, we've bowled, and then that's happened in the fourth over. It's never a great sign.
He always scored runs against us, didn't he?
He
scored like 50 every time. I played against a player called Martin Anderson, who played for Leeds. But he also, I think, he played a little bit of Middlesex. I don't know if Dave ever played with him. But he was a really good player. Like that MCCU season, he scored like basically 100 every game, which at that level is pretty ridiculous, including like double 100. So he was really good. And Anshi Rath was also good for Harrow. Scored a lot of runs.
That's a good shot.
I won't tell Martin Anderson, but I do live with him.
You live with him?
Yeah, I live with Anderson, yeah.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah, I thought he played for Middlesex. Oh, no, he's a good player. Really good player.
Yeah, okay. What would be your funniest cricket moment, if you can think of one?
Probably better to stay on field here.
His lap against... What's his? It was our first game on court in 2017. The guy was on a hat trick. Abadi came in at 11 and then spooned him over fine leg for 4. And then he made his helmet, and we lost by about 100 runs or something. Took off his helmet.
Yeah, I do remember that. We'd lost, but we still celebrated that shot like we'd won. That one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I was that pleased. I don't think either me or Franco were all that chuffed with that at the time, but I can probably look back and appreciate it now.
That was funny.
Well, in answer to your question, Donna, I reckon, so the problem with speech day is, it's obviously quite a long day, and when you're in your final year, you're allowed to drink. And I remember we batted first, and I nicked off pretty early, which meant I was walking around with my house for quite a bit. And through the day, various parents come up to you and offer you, you know, champagne and things like that. And at the time, it was very good. And then I remember when we were fielding, as everyone was leaving to go home, I was at cover next to Joe, and we were both speaking to each other, and I couldn't see the ball.
Again, I mean, a lovely story to remember. I think a good moment to maybe move on again. I didn't realise I was going to have to turn into a teacher with the next pupil here. Donners, did you have any other questions?
One last one.
Go on.
Most scary moment in sport.
Sam bowling in those kilometre nets was not fun.
Yeah, before they got done up, late April, when they were spicy.
Yeah, Sam in general, on some of the school wickets, like some of the school nets, wasn't great.
I also think an early sidearm from before he's warmed up is absolutely brutal. Just that one.
I don't know if it was low six or upper six when he built that rocket sidearm.
Yeah, with bamboo on the back.
With the bamboo stick.
Yeah.
That's gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gone now. It's
another regulation.
Sorry, but yeah, we've gone back to just the regulation sidearm these days.
I wonder why.
Because
that was really good.
I'm hoping that's sarcasm, Dave.
Yeah,
was it? Cool, right. Let's we'll move on with it. We'll go a little bit quick fire through some of these. Coming from me to you to Jack and Shoffy, and I got a couple towards the end that I'll ask Michael as well. But if you think to your time, Shoffy, and I'm not saying this so you name me in response to it, but who's been your favourite coach through your sporting career to date?
I actually probably don't have a favourite. But there was one, I don't know if you remember Kinnebrew.
Yeah, Mr. Kinnebrew, yeah.
But he actually, like, I really loved him as a coach, like more as, like, obviously in general, because obviously wasn't my best sport. But he sort of, like, really motivated us, and we had a really good season under him.
He's, I'm still in touch with him, so I'll pass that on to him. He's actually just become a headmaster at a school down in Australia.
Oh, really?
But I'll pass on your sort of experience of him as a sports coach, Dave-O, best coach. Obviously not me with the bamboo sidearm.
Surprisingly not. Just it would have to be between cricket-wise, it'd be Rory Coutts, Dan Housegoe, and Dave Houghton. Just because I think all of their man management's really good, and obviously technique-wise, they're all superb. Away from cricket, I think Ryan Tully, who's the rackets at Wellington, is very good. Built a good relationship with him where he understood, you know, I needed to put cricket first and the rackets would come second and things like that. Maybe you'd slot in just beneath, maybe. Second tier.
I like the fact you named Dan Housegoe. Obviously, how's he still doing some work with us? So Donners, you'd have experienced sort of between myself, Franco, Housie, Gricey, but yeah, Jack, I think you're right. Sort of my experience of Dan, obviously, is probably key for most coaches now, isn't it? Kind of doesn't matter what your technical understanding or your tactical understanding of the game is, it's being able to work with individuals and get the best out of them, and that kind of that part of the game is so crucial. Last one for me, and then I'll pass back to Michael for a couple. Is there anything you regret not doing sort of in terms of Wellington sport in your time at school? Shoffy, you go to you first. Sort of anything you think you might have missed out on the sport front?
Well, I think that, like, for me, I don't remember, but I had a little bit of a back injury sort of in lower sixth.
Yeah.
But because of that, I was sort of like in between a lot of sports. And I think that would have been quite a good time to do some rackets and some squash, because that was always something I was interested in. And obviously, a lot of cricket players tend to play rackets, like David and Sam and things like that. So that would have been cool to try out, because they really fully use all the facilities they had and stuff like that.
Dave?
The one that comes to mind would be, I did play it a lot and I made use of it probably more than I should have, but I still think I didn't make use of the golf course enough.
Yeah.
Having 9 holes, 2 of water, I still think I should have gone more, utilised it as much as I could have.
So you're still playing golf now, Davo?
I am, yeah.
What, you off?
You need to, really.
Who's winning the golf four ball out of these four who are on here now?
Shoffy Pearson, your junk.
A purist, sort of.
Shoffy, is your golf good?
It's slice in me, that's the problem.
Oh, no. Donis, what's your golf like?
I'm nowhere.
might be quite a good game by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Go on, Michael, back to you for a couple.
All right. We'll start with Davo. What was the biggest challenge in the year after school in terms of cricket? On field and off field. Get into those.
Off field, it'd be, I went straight to being on the staff at Middlesex, which was obviously great, but all of my mates away from cricket were either straight at uni or on gap years. So I was kind of thrown into that lifestyle of working hard for 3 hours a day in the winter and then a lot of downtime, which is obviously good because I live with other young players, but it's quite tough knowing that I had mates on the other side of the world having fun with each other and things like that. But equally, I know that they'd probably be wanting to be in my position as well. So got to take the rough with the smooth and things like that. On field, it'd be school cricket. It's great fun. I think it's a great learning curve and really good to play with your mates. Then going into a professional environment with, bowlers who have played test cricket and, firing up you in the net, it's obviously very difficult. And that was just obviously a big challenge kind of getting into it. But, I loved every minute, so it's pretty good.
Shoffy?
Yes, I guess obviously mine's going to be different to Davo's because obviously for me, I guess with uni, it's the biggest change is it's hard to spend time playing cricket and playing the sport you like playing when it's not properly timetabled into your sort of day, because that's the main thing looking back at school, especially in summer. I have this amount of time to do my work in, and then in the afternoon I'm going to have cricket the whole afternoon, or I have a match on Thursday, Saturday, something like that. Whereas at uni, because not everyone does sport, it's harder to find a time to sort of schedule that into your day. And then you have to go sort of quite, 20-30 minute walk to get to the training, and it's very cold in Durham and stuff like that. So that's quite difficult. And I think that in general, sort of settling into, it's like at school, obviously there's less players around you. And if you play county cricket, you tend to be in the top sort of 3 players within your school. But then going to a university where there's a lot of good players, it's quite hard to manage. Like sort of have that experience of trying to get into a school squad in the first place is quite unique, because it's not really something you experience at school if you play a lot of cricket. It's probably the things to adjust to.
I think those team, going into a new team is so tricky, isn't it? So Donners, you'd have experienced it as a sort of fourth former coming in to play first team cricket. Obviously you had 2 very good older year group role models in Shoffy and Jack. Jack, you obviously referenced there going on to play pro cricket, and you're kind of thrown into that dressing room environment where even though you're like a first year pro, you're just expected to sort of get on with it a little bit. And then Shoffy, those environments you just said there at uni where you're kind of, it's suddenly unstructured and it's really down to your sort of your own responsibility, balancing stuff, and probably one for you that you've experienced as well here, Shoffy, that I always found the MCC environment when you're playing for those first few games that you're involved, and you can literally turn up and there's, you might not know anybody. You might actually know someone on the opposition team, but no one on your own team.
Yeah.
But I think you learn so much, don't you, from sort of, you know, interacting with other people and getting to know new people. And I think cricket's really unique that you're on the field for such a long period of time. And sort of, if you don't get on, it can become quite a lonely place, particularly if you're sort of batting, and if you don't get on with the guy at the other end, then you've got 11 blokes on the other team who are against you, and then potentially no one else out there with you to sort of help you. So quite a good learning curve of having to get on with people in some pretty sort of different circumstances.
I've got one more question.
We'll
start with Shofi. What was your biggest challenge you found while at school?
Is it sport related or everything?
I reckon we'll go in general. Yeah, we'll go in general.
At school, I guess just like balancing, like the same sort of thing we were talking about, but you know, because me and Jack both played a lot of county cricket. And, you know, I went through a phase of playing a lot more than I do now, and just trying to find the time of sort of going to county training and doing all your, you know, trying to do as well in your academics as you can, and then balancing that with maybe playing some other sports as well. And in general, just trying to stay on top of things as much as you can during school. I think that's probably the hardest thing.
Well, I was lucky enough to get selected on a couple tours in my final year. Which meant that I was actually, well, I actually loved being there, but it meant when I came back, I'd missed 2.5 months of my final exam year, which is obviously quite tough when half the time you're still learning new content, things like that. So that aspect of trying to juggle almost relationships with teachers, trying to not annoy them more than others because I was behind and trying to catch up. But still trying to progress my cricket because I was still pushing for a contract. I found that quite tricky. But obviously, you know, great help from Master in Charge, Dan Pratt, to kind of deal with that and smooth things over. So, yeah.
Dave, I'm pleased you referenced it. I was actually going to say, on that, when you're on that tour, I think you're sort of the, was it around one of the World Cup ones that you went to? But I used to feel sorry for the lady from the ECB who was meant to be overseeing your work whilst you're away, because I'm pretty certain every conversation I had with her, she found quite challenging to get you to do much work.
It wasn't just me. That paints me in a bad light. That paints me, but got it done for the most part. They expect so much is the issue.
I mean, and in all seriousness, kind of, and joking and to one side of what I've just said to you there, but it's, you know, the schedule that people have these days, to, you know, the requirement of going to a tour like that, which you'll be, you know, end up tired from travel, end up tired from playing in big games and all of those kind of things. It, you know, I think there's often an expectation or a thought that, you know, it's a bit of a holiday. But, you know, if you looked at that World Cup for you in that under 19 year, you know, you were probably the first time you played televised cricket and things like that. So it's all, you know, quite a stressful new environment, and then trying to catch up with your work on top of that actually is probably something that is quite difficult for people to relate to some of the time.
Yeah, obviously it was tricky knowing that half the time, you know, training, you're stressed because you want to play well and get better, but you're also fighting for a spot to play for your country at under 19 level. And then you get out and you see all the older boys, you know, we were lucky enough to be in Queenstown the whole time, and you see the older boys go down to the beach and things like that, and you're pushed into a room to do some work on your laptop, getting bombarded by four teachers. Okay, but it did help having a lot of backing from the school and understanding that it was quite a big thing to obviously go to that World Cup, and they were very understanding, thankfully.
Yeah, and I can remember vividly now, you were always up to date with the sports science work, I say. So let's move on there. I've got one question to finish with, and I'll ask all three of you what you reckon. But if you're allowed to make one change to Wellington sport, what would it be and why? Dave-O, do you want to kick us off, and then we'll go to Shofi and finish with Donna's on this one?
I don't know whether it's controversial. I'm sure a lot of teachers might not like this opinion. But at Wellington, you have to play hockey in your first year, compulsory. Now, the problem with this is all the very good hockey players at Wellington go to Wellington because, and do well at hockey because they played hockey for about 4 years prior. And I think that you should be able to do whatever sport you want in that second term because hockey is, well, I don't want to, again, I'm going to annoy a lot of teachers here. But
Dave, shall I jump in for you? Because I'm guessing you're suggesting that your hockey experience and maybe your hockey playing background wasn't as strong as you'd like it to be. Is that a good way of phrasing it?
That's probably a way nicer way to put it. Let's leave it there.
It's also a good point that, you know, the sports structure has changed now, that there is a bit more freedom. So if you had your time again, Dave, you might actually get your way, that you might get a bit more choice. But before you...
If I went back now, I'd also have a cricket centre, so that'd be good.
That's true as well. And no bamboo sidearm either.
Yeah.
Shafi, what would you change?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because you said you have a little bit more choice now. I was going to say something quite similar. Like, I think that having like a system of maybe doing major sports and minor sports is quite good. So like having, if you have three or four training sessions a week, maybe like on a Tuesday you do a minor sport, which could be like squash or something like that. And then you have a choice of whether to do that. I think it's quite good because like Debo said a few times at the start, sort of third, fourth and fifth form, you can be sort of funneled into a sport that you may not actually enjoy that much just because it's a major sport and you may not have the chance to do other sports as well. So that's just something I thought about.
Yeah. Donna, yeah, same again, for you?
Yeah, again, for me, quite similar. For example, like this term, just gone, I played football when I probably would have much rather just netted, played cricket in the centre. Because I find at the moment quite hard was going to a football session for an hour and a half, then coming and netting for another hour and a half would be quite tiring. So maybe opening up options if you are playing like a first team sport to do that sport almost in another term or for another half a term.
Go on, Dave. Sticking your hand up.
Because we're on video over there. I think that there needs to be more specific. I agree with Don here. There needs to be more specific training for certain sports. So if you look at schools like Radley and Millfield, in some free periods and things, they get extra training, which means they're able to kick on slightly further. And I'm not, obviously, Wellington have very strong academics, but I think there is still time where we have enough free periods and things like that in early mornings where you can go and do a session.
Serious question, David, and I'm not trying to defend the cricket program that I was running. But did you feel that when you sort of stepped into the pro game straight out of school, which is obviously a big challenge anyway, as it is to anyone sort of who goes straight into their working environment, but did you feel sort of off the pace, sort of unusually compared to others, or do you think it was just sort of a general experience thing?
I didn't necessarily feel off the pace. I think because when you go into your first year, we rarely pick up a bat before December. We just do a lot of fitness work. So, and you kind of, the good thing about second team cricket is you play with a lot of regular first team players. So I knew half the squad, and when you go in, you kind of already have that, I wouldn't call it backing, but they have a knowing that you've been signed for a reason, I'd like to think. So it wasn't necessarily down to our program, because I do think the Wellington cricket program is good, because it's obviously produced, you know, some good players over the years. But I do just to feel like we could have done some extra stuff just to keep up with some other schools, maybe.
And I think probably, Donners, I don't know what your view on, because you've experienced sort of the program that Jack and Shoffy would have had, and obviously you've experienced sort of the difference this year, if you want to talk about that. But sort of before I ask that, like, I think cricket, you're right, Jack, is unique, isn't it? Because it is quite highly technical, and the individual nature of it means that you're able, particularly as a batter, to do quite a lot of work. Obviously, it's a little bit harder for a bowler in terms of workloads and things like that physically. But I think there is that desire to do sort of extra technical work, and that that aim to try and upskill yourself in those winter months ahead of the summer and stuff as well. But Donners, what do you reckon, this year being any different with the new centre?
I reckon we're getting more numbers now during winters from a variety. I don't know what it's like in the juniors, but from first and second team, we're getting quite a lot of numbers, like never really have to fill in bowlers, all batsmen.
Yeah.
First round captain doesn't speak to any youngsters, they just call them on mate.
Well, I'm so, not allowed to go to on Wednesday, David, actually. It's strictly third and fourth form.
Yeah, it's good because they probably wouldn't want like the first team captain to come and like coach and give them some tips. It's good, stay away, it's nice.
I was never invited, so.
Dave, I can guarantee if you'd have been there, it would have resulted in you asking to have balls thrown at you or catch some balls.
Get an extra hit.
Cool. Right. Look, let's finish there. Shoffy, Dave, thank you both very much for your time there. Shoffy, I hope you get your coursework done for uni and that all plays out well. Dave, obviously, fingers crossed for you in terms of what this summer looks like and what cricket we get played. And I hope if we do, then you get some opportunities that you deserve to come your way after probably a long, hard winter and what at the moment seems very odd not having any cricket, despite the fact it's the start of the summer. But thank you to both of you, and obviously sort of stay safe for the coming period of time with everything that's going on.
Cheers.
Yeah. Donners, we'll keep the wrap up nice and short because we've spoken for quite a while there with those two. But sort of give you a heads up, like I just wonder if there's any key messages you think you could take out of what both of those two have said there. I thought it was quite interesting, sort of all of your opinion around choice with sport and probably basing that choice around being able to pick things which you enjoy and being able to commit time to those, which hopefully sort of reflects the new system a little bit better. So I thought that was quite interesting, but I don't know if there was anything in particular you took out of that.
Well, I think it's quite evident with those two. I think they definitely enjoyed their sport while they were here. That's why I think they find it quite memorable. I think that's probably the most important thing, just like in terms, well, with cricket, especially with me, when I'm enjoying it, I'm having the most fun. And it almost makes it easier to balance everything else if you're enjoying it. In a way, it all kind of falls into place.
I think that probably gets highlighted with summer sports, doesn't it? When you've got exams and things like that to worry about as well. That if you're not enjoying your sport whilst you're there, it probably becomes even more hard work, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's just, it's almost, especially with cricket, I find it's a good way, almost a break from all the hard work. You get that. It's quite nice to do something different.
What do you reckon? Because you went through it as a fourth former coming in. I think the one other thing I thought was really interesting from both Jack and Shoffy there is sort of talking about those experiences of going into new environments and the challenges that those throw at you. Sort of, do you think you've learned some valuable life skills from doing that as a fourth former coming in and how that might help you?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of like almost off the field, I think it definitely helped me speak to new people because it's kind of unheard of speaking to what's back then, speaking to people a couple of years above you like regularly on a regular basis. So I think it definitely helped with that, with my confidence a little bit. And on the field, obviously, it's a good way to develop your skills the whole time if you're playing against better players and almost older players as well, more experienced. So I think that definitely helped me on and off the field. But because they were both quite good year groups, didn't find it too difficult to be integrated into the side. So didn't find that too much of a challenge.
And I think the one other thing that I picked up on was the both comments about sort of balancing work and sport. That's sort of an ongoing thing, but probably also a good life skill for when you have to balance things in future life.
No, that's definitely been, I think Wellington in general is quite good at that because you've always got sport to do and a lot of work as well. So you kind of learn as you go through the years how to deal with that, I think.
Cool. Right. Well, fingers crossed. We've had some listeners to the podcast, and if they've made it this far through, then thank you for listening. And I hope they found that interesting. Michael, obviously, you're currently in the unique position of being Wellington College cricket club captain. But at the moment, we're obviously not sure if we're going to be playing any cricket this year. But sort of a thank you from me already for sort of the leadership you've shown over the winter, and also for taking the time today to do the interview with Jack and Alex. And I wish you sort of the best of luck and stay safe and all those kind of things over the coming weeks. And good luck with whatever the future holds for you.
Thank you very much. You stay safe as well.
Thanks.
And I hope you do get some cricket in this summer as well.
Agree. Fingers crossed we get some cricket for everyone this summer, even more so that we've been having this good weather recently.
Yeah, exactly. Surely Bose can go ahead.
Let's wait and see. Yeah, we'll see. Cricket for everyone out there.
All right. Thanks,
Al. See you later. Goodbye.